giving me a message today that I think a lot of us Christians we tend to fall into, and there's a lot of Christians who, or people who have started out, who don't finish. But I feel the presence of God in this place. I really do feel the presence of God in this place. And if you don't know what that feels like, it's a good feeling. It's a warm feeling. You want to wrap yourself in it. It's like a cover and a blanket all in one. God, we just thank you for today, God. We thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that your presence is literally dwelling, Lord God. That your spirit would choose to dwell in here. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. In your holy name. I don't know if I turned that thing on. There you go. So, this week, what we're talking about today is something that, if you really think about it and you really begin to take it to the streets, and no, I'm just kidding, you begin to take it deep into your heart and really think about what we're going to talk about today, it's really something that is for you. And this was for me, and it's going to be for your neighbor and the people you talk to about this church. And so what we're talking about today is a concert. Have you guys ever been to a concert? Have you ever been to a concert? Yes?
Yeah.
So you ever been to a concert? Thank you. Someone's talking to me. I just need someone to talk to me. I'm a little insecure. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever been to a concert? You ever go into a concert and you're excited and you're like, oh yeah, we're going to a concert. And you see the opening act. And the opening act is like either 50% know what's going on. And then 50% are like, oh, that's cool. Oh, they sound pretty good, right? Yeah. Who are they? You still don't remember their names even after the concert? that's happened to me a couple times. That's happened to me and Tasha a couple times. You know, and so we go to this concert super excited. And like the opening act can be really good. And it's just like, this is awesome. I might listen to your music now, or you go to a concert and you're like, this is really bad, I would never buy your music now. You know, it goes one of two ways. But how foolish would it be, imagine if you judged the entire concert off of the opening act. Like, so if it's really good, you're like, you know what, this is good. But you know what, I'm leaving now. This was great. I don't even care about the main show, the opening act was enough for me. Or imagine if you're like, wow, this opening act sucked. I'm leaving. It's just like, well, you just paid money. Yeah, but if this is the opening act, I don't want to see the rest of the concert. Both of those ideas are just stupid, right? It's so good that you leave, or it's so bad that you leave. Either way, you're missing the main show. You're missing the main event. And so, as Christians, sometimes we make our decisions and we make our judgments based on the opening act. Think about it. There are people who I've told this about, and they've came on one Sunday and then they haven't come back because they're based on the opening act. Our lives, the lives that we live, aren't based on, we're not the main show. We're just the opening act. The title of this message, as you hear, it's called It's Just the Opening Act. So we pick up in chapter 14, verse 8. And now, so in chapter 14, we start at verse 8 because Paul and Barnabas have been being persecuted by the Jews. And we've talked about that week from week, and the church is getting persecuted. And now they were going into the Jewish synagogues and preaching. And so in verses 1 to 7, they find out that they're preaching and they're about to get stoned and killed. And so they're like, you know what? Peace. You ain't going to get me, Becky with the good hair. Oh, right? What? You ain't going to get me.
How many churches do you go to the Beyonce references?
Right? This church makes Beyonce references here.
Beyonce, that's right.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, I'll explain later. So we pick up in verse 8. Oh man, I'm so excited about it. So it says in Lystra, verse 8, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. Remember that. He's never, ever, ever walked. Paul looked at him directly, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out and said, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. So we start off with this lame guy. He's lame from birth. And so what does that say? That means if he was lame from birth, he's never experienced walking. He hasn't. His entire life, his legs didn't work. So it's not like he was walking and then he stopped walking and then he couldn't walk anymore. It's not like he lost momentum or motion that he was used to doing. He wasn't used to walking. He was just, people carried him around. That was his natural state. So this guy who's never walked in his life is sitting there and he's listening to Paul preach. I believe sometimes we're like that as Christians. And really listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes you're like, "I'm not lame, I can walk." But I feel like sometimes we're birthed into these circumstances or environments, and then sometimes we want to become a product of our environment. And so we sit in our lives and we can't walk. And there are situations that you're like, "I want to walk out of, but I can't. This is just the way I am. This is the way I know the world." And I feel like Christ is like, "I've called you past that." If you don't believe in products of your environment, and now, not all things that you got from your family are bad. Some things are good. Like, I don't know, my dad works hard. I kind of got that. Kind of. I hope I got that. I'm just kidding. And then some things are bad. It's like the way you view people and the stereotypes you view people with. They're not great, but that's the way your world was formed. So this man who's sitting there, he's lame from birth, he's just like, "I don't know the motion of walking, I don't know what joy it brings me, I don't even pay, someone just usually carries me." And some of us sit here today and we're like, "Well, this is just the way I view the world." Who's here has heard that? "This is just the way I am." Mm-hmm. You become a product of your environment. "This is just the way I am." And Christ is like, no, that is not just the way you are. I've made you to see beyond that. So Paul's preaching, and the guy is lame. And if you look at, so this week, Forrest and I went to this, it's called the Young Professionals Region Summit, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it says, and we were talking, do you know that the way you view the world will determine how you view God and how you get out of your situations? The way you view it will determine, you're like, no way, yes way. Becky with the good hair. It says parts of Memphis, an unfortunate example, there are, and you teachers probably know this way better than I do, there are students from the 6th grade all the way to the 12th grade who have a 2nd grade reading level. Think about that. So now there's a lack of education. What happens when there's a lack of education? Gangs are formed. If you can't read how to get out, how do you know what's there? If you can't read beyond your current circumstance, you're going to say, "This is my world and this is just the way it is." So gangs form. What happens? Population decrease. Or a city decrease. Because no one wants to stay in an area where there's gangs. No one wants to stay in an area where they don't feel safe. So people move out. People leave. Because they said, I don't feel safe in this area. And so do you see how one person's mindset affects the next? And if I'm going to school and I can't read, I sure don't care if you can read or not. And sometimes that's the mindset. And that's just in Memphis. But look at us as Christians. I can't worship with you because you're Baptist. I can't worship with you because you're Pentecostal. I can't worship with you because you give me this feeling of you're better than me. And so we begin to let these situations determine our outlook. You let a moment determine your outlook. Think about that. That's where that's where Memphis is. Martin Luther King got shot, and that has determined Memphis's outlook for the past 50 years. Almost 50 years. And so it was that mindset that we can't move past that because we're lame. And I believe Christ has called this church to say, hey, you can walk.
That's good.
You can walk. You will walk around this city that I'm giving you.
That's right.
But we have to keep our eyes focused. We can't let what happens around us determine if we're good. If I would have stopped and listened to what everyone would have said about me and what everyone says about this church, I wouldn't be here right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't listen to every other stupid voice that has something to say.
Come on.
You got to call stupid voice. Sometimes it's just stupid.
Yeah.
All right. What I love in verse 9 is that it says, Paul was speaking, and it says, Paul looks directly at him and saw the faith that he had to change his situation. And Paul noticed him and he tells him to stand up. Stand up. Paul sees him, he goes, stand up. You know, there are people in your life right now that saw the plant and the fruit of your life before the seed was even there. Those are the people you need to keep around. Those are the people you need to pray for. Those are the people you need to continue to connect with. Because there are people in my life and people in your life who see the fruit and the plant of your life before the seed even hit the soil.
That's good.
And you got to keep praying for those people. You got to call those people and let them know, thank you for believing in me, even when I couldn't believe in myself, and even when I didn't believe Christ had a plan for me. Thank you for believing in me. There are people who are believing for this church. Our seed, I feel like our seed hasn't even, it's in the soil. I don't feel like it has grown yet and sprouted. But there are people who will be like, dude, the fruit of this church is going to change Memphis.
Yep.
And they tell me that, man, people are going to come to this church because they believe in the seed that we're planting. We just have to make sure the soil's right. Plant the seed in bad soil, nothing happens. Paul saw it, and he tells him to stand up. There are people who, you're here today, and Christ is like, I put a seed in you, and I'm telling you right now is your time to stand up. Stand up for your home. Stand up for your relationships. Stand up for your marriage. Stand up for your city. Stand up for your city. This is your city. Amen. Stand up. And what I love is that he told him to stand up. It said, at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. He jumped up and began to walk. So this man, who has never had the experience of walking, who's never jumped in his life, the first thing that he does with his legs when Paul says, get up, your faith has healed you, is he jumps up. And he walks. You see, are you guys seeing that today? Are you hearing me today? Right?
Yeah.
He jumps up and he walks. The two things that he probably never did in his life, he did in one day, in one moment. It wasn't a crawl. It wasn't a limp. It says he jumped up and he began to walk. There are things Christ has called this church to. There are things that Christ has called me to. There are things Christ has called each and every one of you to. That Christ is saying, get up and begin to walk.
Yep.
And we need to jump up and walk. You know what's crazy? Is that the guy didn't sit there and say, I've never walked a day in my life. I don't even know what I'm doing. Do I do this baby walk thing? No, he jumped up and he began to walk. There is a plan that God has for your life, and he's put it on you, and he says, this is what I want you to do. And you're like, God, I am so unqualified to do that. I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before. This thing is bigger than me. And Christ is saying, stand up and walk.
Yep. Come on.
He's waiting for a church to stand up and walk.
Yep.
There are a lot of churches out there that stood up and sat right back down because they couldn't believe what God had planned for them.
Wow, that's really good.
We are not that church. We are a church that when we see trouble, when we see hurt, when we see pain, when we see an area that we can fulfill because kids can't read, we're going to jump up and we're going to walk.
Yep.
Even if it is at 11:30 at night. It's another reference. Uh-huh. I'll tell you guys later.
Yeah.
Jump up and walk. You ever see? Like he began to walk. A guy who couldn't even walk. He was lame from birth. I could see him just like, he jumped up and he was like, hey! You know? Like, you know? He just see like, hey! Look at that! You know? He's like doing a stanky leg. Like, hey! I would have done the same thing. Right? He's like, let's play. Who wants to play ball? Aaron Iverson. Like, what's up? You know. And you know he kicked the first thing he saw. He's like, boom! As a child, don't kick him. Get up and walk.
That's good.
He didn't come up slowly. He didn't need to be pulled up. It wasn't because Paul said something. It's because Paul noticed the faith in him.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul noticed the faith in him. Paul sees it, and there are people in our lives who see it in this church, and they see it in each and every one of you guys. I see it in each and every one of you guys. If I didn't, I'd be like, hey, maybe this is not the church for you. But I see it in each and every one of you guys. Every week that you come, every week that you give, every week that you serve, that's you're getting up, you're jumping up, and you're walking. So many people just sit there. There are churches who are just sitting. And they're waiting for someone to say, get up and walk. And God is like, I'm not asking you to get up and walk for your church. I'm asking you to get up and walk for your community. Sure. Walk for these kids.
Yep.
Walk for education. Walk in love. There you go. You see that? They're calling us. Stand up and walk. I believe that before Paul said anything, I believe that man sat there and he dreamed about walking. Mm-hmm. There are people that would walk by him, run by him, and he's like, man, one day, God, I just want to walk. I just want to walk. There's something that I have to switch in. Or is it like, God, I just want to walk too? When he's listening to Paul preach it, today I'm going to walk. And I don't know how I'm going to walk, and I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I don't know, there's something about Paul that I'm going to walk today. I'm walking out of this place today. And the people who brought him there probably like, they feel bad for him, and he's like, no, I'm going to walk today. It wasn't Paul's words that brought the healing, it was the guy's faith. It is faith that brought the healing. And so what do? It says, so the title of this sermon is called, It's Just the Opening Act. So in verse 11, it says, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, or Hermes, and I'm just kidding, it's Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, they brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. They wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Tell your neighbor, it's just the opening act.
It's just the opening act.
Because if you guys didn't say it, I'm about to yell at all y'all. Like, it's just the opening act. No, I'm just kidding. It's just the opening act. It says, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd. Because they started to praise. They didn't praise. What happens a lot of the times with us and even in churches and pastors and preachers around the world, we begin to worship the clay and totally miss the potter.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, man, that's good. That yeah. Come on.
We do.
Quote.
Sometimes we begin to worship the clay and totally forget the potter. Mm-hmm. The things that we're going to do in this city will never be because of our zeal or what we can do or look at this church is doing. The reason why we're going to change this city is because we believe Christ is upon us, and it's by his power and by his strength that we're going to change this city. There is no power in us, but it's all because of God. It's all because of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the only reason why we're going to change this city.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. There are pastors and evangelists and preachers out there who I look up to and I respect. And I'm like, man, you are doing such great things for the kingdom. And man, that's so cool. But not for a moment will I worship them and what they're doing. But every moment I get up and be like, thank you, Jesus, that you empower them to do what you made them to do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that they are walking in your will.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you guys knew my and Tasha's story and my story, if you knew our story, you would know that we've been through church hurt. We've gotten hurt. I've seen men who are high in the ministry totally succumb to themselves and their flesh and totally fall. There is grace. Yes, there is grace. But I've had people hurt us who are in the church, and you're like, how could you hurt us? You're a Christian. Funny. How could you say that to us? How could you say that about us? How could you reject these people? How could you not care? And then that's why people leave the church. Because they had put their faith in a man and not in God.
That's right.
Don't put your faith in me. I pray to God that your faith isn't contingent upon what I'm preaching. Because if it is, you're going to leave this church soon.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. If your faith and your belief in God is swinging on a needle, if Jeremy's preaching good or not this week, I'm preaching good this week, but if it's contingent, if it's contingent upon that needle, I'm going to fail you. And you will leave this church.
That's good.
You should come here every Sunday with the expectation of, I'm going to meet God today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet Christ today. And I know Christ has put it on Jeremy's heart to preach such a great message. And that's what I'm listening for. And I'm not listening for him.
Amen.
So many times that happens.
That's good.
We put our faith in man. And then when he fails, we're like, how could you do that? And I'm here to tell you today, I am not the main event. I'm just one segment of an opening act. This church is just one segment of an opening act.
Right.
We're just opening for the King of Kings who's going to change Memphis. That's all we're doing.
Come on. Yes.
We're just an opening act. And that's where we want to stay, an opening act. Because at any moment when we try to become the main event, we're doing our own concert. And no one's going to come.
Yep.
We're just an opening act. What I love is that they rushed and they tore their clothes. I'm not telling you to go tear your clothes when you're angry. Ain't nobody wants to see all that, you know? God forbid I tore my shirt, people are like, uh-uh, Pastor. You need to go put on a big sweater. But they tore their clothes because at that time, when tearing your clothes, you were so against that. Because you believe that was blasphemy. So they're saying they tore their clothes in disgust because people were trying to worship them. Mm. You know what's tearing down Christianity today? It isn't persecution of the church. Mm-hmm. It's that pastors want to receive worship. They want to stand in God's place.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's what's tearing down the church today. It isn't persecution. God told us that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that people were going to die for the word. But you know what's tearing down the church today? Is all the worship that the pastors are receiving. And everyone in the congregation takes their eyes off Christ and puts it on a man. So when you call on a man and say, how come you're not doing this? You get so upset. And God is like, he's just a messenger. I'm the guy you need to focus on. Yeah, I know you got hurt in the church. Because guess what? He's just a piece of clay. I'm the potter. I fix the things in your life. I bring all these things together for your good.
Thank you,
don't focus
Jesus.
On him. mind.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Man, don't ever change your focus off God. Don't ever change your focus from God. It says, they said, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from the worthless things to the living God. Because during that time, the Lycaonians worshiped pagan gods, obviously Zeus. They worshiped any god that would listen to them. Or whatever. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from the heavens and crops in their seasons. He's provided you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, I had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. No one's going to sacrifice for anybody in here. Any sacrifice you're doing, you're sacrificing for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Any sacrifice, anything you give, anything you do, you ain't doing it for me. You're doing it because you believe that through your giving or through your work that Christ is going to work through that.
Yeah.
You ain't giving to me. And I love that. We were raised, I'm a church kid. I grew up in church my entire life. Some of you guys are probably church because you grew up in church your entire life. And there are things and problems that could have happened that could have derailed you from your church life, and you wouldn't be a Christian, and you wouldn't be a church, and you're like, how could I ever go to a church? They're all hypocrites and blah, 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 blah. And you know, all those people say, I can't go to church because the people I go to church with are hypocrites. It's like, you a hypocrite too. Come to church with me.
Exactly.
Because you're so focused on the man. You're so focused on what man is doing and what people are saying, you lose focus of what God is trying to do in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 3:14 says, I press on, not we, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. Now the word press, there has to be some resistance when you press something. There are times where I could have given up, and Tasha and I, we could have given up, but we said we're pressing on because God, I know there's something greater. I know there's something greater. I'm pressing on because I know God's going to do great things through us, and it's not for our glory, but it's for His glory. And there are things in your life, and God is like, press on. Paul says, I press on towards a goal. There is a goal. There is a point. There is a goal that you're pressing towards. You're not pressing on just to waste your life. You're not pressing on just to exhaust yourself. You're pressing on to win the goal for the prize that Christ has called you. You're pressing on for that. I love it. It says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me. What happens so many times is we think, I press on towards the goal to get a full-time job at the church. Or I press on towards a goal to get someone to like me. Or I press on towards a goal so that I have a group to hang out with at church. No, Christ says, you press on towards a goal to win the prize for which I have called you. And Christ says, I've called you. So live a life worthy of that calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Live a life worthy of that calling. It says, and I'm going to be closing. Then some Jews came in from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking that he was dead. Hey, Dave, can you get me picked out real quick? But it says, they stoned him and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes.
So, it says that these guys who were persecuting the church had won the crowd over, and they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. There are people in your world, in your life, in your situation, in your environment, who have stoned you. And someone has won them over to stone. And you ask, why am I getting stoned? Why is this happening to me? Why are people throwing this stuff at me? Why? And it's okay. And you're like, what are you talking about? If someone threw a stone at me, I would throw a stone right back. Because I would try to. I'm like, I'm going to hit you too, Robert, because I see how ugly you've been.
No, no. Robert.
I don't know, just a random name.
Sorry, Robert.
And so it's like, people have stoned you. But what I love is that even though you're stoned, even though, look at Paul, it says, they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. There are people in your life who have stoned you, and you feel like they've drug you outside of their church. You feel like they ran you out of this city, and they feel like they ran you out of this town, but it's okay because there are disciples here standing around you who are like, you ain't dead. You ain't. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to stand up and walk and jump on your feet. We're not gonna leave you laying outside here. This is what we're here for. This is what Pioneer Church is here for. This is what our Cultivate Community part of our mission statement is here for. We're going to stand around you and pray over you, and we're gonna wake up and we're gonna go back into the city. That's what they did. Verse 20, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. Satan thinks he's counted you out. He has spiritually tried to stone you. He has you counted out. He has you, oh, Tedrick, he's out. Oh, Susan, she's out. David, he's out. They're out. I've stoned them. I even let their own Christians stone them. I let their own Christians stone them. But what, you're here today because I'm here to tell you that guess what? We're here for you. We're a community of believers, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to get up, and you're going to hit the city harder than you did before. Mm-hmm. You're not by yourself. It says the disciples gathered around him. And so it's when God does things, they're just the opening act. You feel like you're stoned and you're dead and that your life in ministry is dead. That's just the opening act. There's some people I'm like, boo-boo kitty. We're going to take this city. We are taking this city. You thought you knocked me out? You thought you was talking junk and you wore me down? You think you was talking bad about me now? Wait till I start changing this city with the power of Christ. You really going to talk bad about me. And it's okay. Let them throw stones. Let them throw stones. Because if Christ is in me, if Christ is in me, I'm not focused on anyone else. We're not focused on any other church. We're not competing with another church. We're fighting the gates of hell and serving God and praising Him along the way doing it. That's what we're doing. I'm not trying to compete with nobody. What if our church was just the brightest light in the darkest place? Other people they're gonna be like, what? What if we did the little things? What if we were a part of something where we can help kids read? What if, think about that, what if for 1 hour a week we'd go help a kid read? What if for 1 hour we spent time and fed someone? What if?
That's good.
That's what pioneers do.
That's really good.
We would do all those things that the church is supposed to be doing. And the thing is, at no point will we be like, yeah, we're here. When we go to downtown Memphis, it's not going to be like, yeah, we've arrived. It's going to be like, wow, we got a lot of work to do. Now. We're just the opening act. Every time we talk to someone, every time we pray for someone, hey, this is just an opening act. This is just an introduction to who Christ is and what He's going to do in your life. It won't be easy. You will get stoned. You might even get stoned along the way. It won't be easy. But if you join our community, guess what? Even though they drag you out, we're going to pick you up, dust you up, and be like, hey, let's go back in for round two.
Yep.
Amen.
That's the church that we are. I hate saying that's the church we're going to be. That's the church we are.
Yeah.
Amen.
To see the dead come back to life.
Yep. Yes.
For Christ alone. Do I got a couple pioneers in this room who are willing to change Memphis?
Yes.
Amen.
Who are willing to get sacrificed, to get stoned, to see Christ move in the city.
Yep.
just want to challenge you guys. This challenged me.
That's good.
This challenged me. Because sometimes we feel like we need to be the main act, and we need to be the person, the main concert, and God is just like, no, you're just an opening act. You are one of many opening acts. Because when I come back, I'm the main event. And those who look like me, and those who got tickets to this concert, you're going to enjoy this concert. You're going to be with me forever.
Yep.
Some of us, we think we're going to run into heaven. And God is like, no, you might just be crawling in. But we in anyways. As I close today, I just want to encourage you guys. But there's a city. We live in a city that is begging for the church to move. We live in a city that is so thirsty for a fresh spirit and a fresh church. We live in a city that it's so easy to claim the glory for yourself and what you're doing. But we also live in a city where God wants to take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have heard that verse. If my people were called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Mm-hmm. Humble themselves. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that to mind. He says, if my people were called by my name, Pioneer Church is called by Christ's name, would humble themselves and pray. I will restore. Memphis needs restoration.
Yeah.
Memphis needs, heck, they don't need restoration. They need a rebirth. Memphis needs a rebirth.
That's good.
Are we going to be the opening act? Are we going to play our role so well that when the main event comes on stage, it was like a no-brainer? It's like, well, I'm glad I stayed for this concert. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I stayed, because if he didn't show up, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now. But I know each and every time that we do something, he's going to show up each and every time. Each and every time. Mm-hmm. You guys will just bow your heads. Christ, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord God, that we get to be a part of the best opening act ever in the world. That we get to be a part of such a movement, Lord God, that when you come on stage, lives always change. Father, thank you, Lord God, for some of us, you've called us back into the game and you're saying, stand up and walk. Lord God, let our faith trigger our spiritual legs to jump up and walk out the plan you have for us. We thank you, Father, Lord God, that we are in a city that needs a lot of work. Thank you for that. Thank you for placing us here individually. Thank you. Because, Lord God, when we jump up and walk, we know things change. Mm-hmm. People change. But not for our glory, but for your glory. Father, as we're here together, let us know, Lord God, that there are times when we'll feel that stones are being thrown at us, Lord, and stones are being thrown at other people. But Lord God, help us gather around them, pray for them, and get back into the city. Because too many people have given up already. Lord God, I dedicate this church to you.
Amen.
I dedicate each and every person in this church to you. And each and every person that will join this church, and each and every person that will help support this church, I dedicate them to you. Lord God, help them to get back in there in the opening act. And Lord God, thank you for just dwelling here today and being a part of this service, being a part of this time, being a part of us. Thank you for dwelling here. Lord God, continue to change us, grow us, give us fresh and new ideas to reach this city, your city. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.